Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Apostle Isaiah Kaderi. Oh my goodness, I'm mixing it together. Hey man, so glad to have you here again today.
Thank you.
I am pumped. You know, I feel from the moment we met, I felt like I got my brother in the Lord, you know, and God's connected us for a time as this. You're an apostle,
you know,
in Nigeria, and God's doing a mighty work through you. In our last program, we got a chance to kind of look at, you know, some facts about Nigeria, some what the life is like in Nigeria, and just share a couple of things that was going on there. And I would encourage you, if you have not yet seen that program, to get context of what we're talking about, because we want you to visit Nigeria, right?
That's right.
And if you can't visit physically, you can visit it through your prayers, and you can visit through financial gifts that's taking place, right?
That's right.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about, you know, in today's program is that the persecution that's happened at times. And there was a village in the upper part of Nigeria. It's a huge country, 182 million maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
185 or 87, according to the report.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Up north in Nigeria, mm-hmm. we have been having challenges. Mm-hmm. Christians have been really persecuted, killed, maimed, and... Yes. So many children has been, you know, hacked, destroyed, you know. In Kaduna State, for example, lately, it has been so bad that hundreds and hundreds of people has been killed by the Fulani headsmen. That's what they called him. That's another sect. Mm-hmm. Other than Boko Haram. Boko Haram had been in existence since 2009, and their primary goal was to establish Sharia within the caliphate, mm-hmm. within the northern region, the northeast.
Right.
But this new set now, they are called the headsmen.
Headsmen?
Headsmen, Fulani headsmen.
Okay.
You know, they go about killing Christians and maiming and destroying farms, and it has been a mess. But the Christians, have been calling out for government to step up their security right. network to checkmate this. But
and they were coming in saying, trying to force people to shift to Islam.
That's right.
And
that's
they said
right.
that the ones that got hurt are the ones that said, I'm staying a Christian. I'm not going to give up my faith in Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, we have a video right here. I want to take a look at this, and then we're going to come back. But this is this tragedy in 2010, exactly what Apostle Kaderi is talking about, that took place and from the eyes and the words of the children that saw this take place in their Christian village. Take a look at this.
The constant and ruthless attacks against Christians in Nigeria has left over 300 of these children at this Christian orphanage and school in the southwestern part of the country without one or both of their parents. Many of them have witnessed unspeakable horrors and bear emotional or physical scars. 14-year-old James and his 11-year-old brother Elisha were once part of a large family. Their parents and five brothers were among the approximately 500 killed when hundreds of militant Muslims attacked their village of Dogo Nahawa near the city of Jos in Plateau State in the middle of the night on March 7th, 2010.
It was about 3 a.m. when we heard gunshots in our village. My parents and my brothers tried to escape by running. But we meet some of the rioters in the road, killing people, cutting people with cutlasses. I was cut with a cutlass and fainted and fell down like a dead man.
Because I was small, I didn't know what was happening. When I heard the gunshots and saw the burning houses, I saw fire all around. I started to run. They saw me running and hit me with a cutlass on my back.
Elisha, who was 9 at the time, laid on the ground for about 3 hours.
The rioters left me there and went away. They thought I was dead. In the morning, I managed to move myself to a room in a house that wasn't burned. There, some people saw me and took me down to the hospital.
It was at the hospital that Elisha learned that his parents and five of his brothers were dead. One older sister also survived and currently lives in another part of the country.
When I heard my family members were killed, I was angry.
Elisha's only surviving brother, James, was in serious condition after being hit with a machete in the face, back of his head, and his back. James also suffered burns to his left arm.
At the hospital, I was told my mother, my father, and my brothers had been killed. I felt sad, and I thought it would have been better if I had been killed and they were alive. When I was told they had been killed, I was burning inside, and I felt that I must get revenge. But I was told by people around me to cool down and just be patient, and leave them alone, and that God would revenge for me. So it came to my mind that those who killed my parents and brothers, that I should forgive them. I was told by my pastor, when someone hurts you, you have to forgive them, because God is the one who judges everyone accordingly.
So what was behind such a brutal and heartless attack on these children and their families?
When the Muslims were here in this village, we were living in peace, though the Muslims were trying to convert some to become Muslims. But they didn't want to. They wanted to maintain their Christian life and worship God, only God. When they had taken that step, one of the Muslim men told us they were going to mount an attack on the village.
Lari and her brother Bulas survived a 2010 raid on their village of Miango near the city of Jos when militant Muslims attacked while Christians were sleeping.
The Muslims came to our village in the afternoon and hid behind the rocks, and people didn't know that they were there. Around midnight, they started fighting. They started killing our people. When we heard the gunshots, my mother told me and my brother and the rest of the family to run away and escape.
While running with her grandmother, Lari got separated from the rest of her family. While trying to escape, she was shot in the leg, but she was able to keep moving.
We ran into the toilet. I hid myself there. The people passed by, and after they went by, I saw our house and other houses being burned. When I saw the houses burning, I thought that this was maybe my last day on earth. I thought I was going to die. I was praying that God should forgive my sins. Many people were being killed.
After the mob left, Lari and her grandmother, who had also been shot several times, came out looking for help.
When I managed to come out from the toilet, some of the villagers saw me. They asked what happened to me, and I told them. They saw the wound and bleeding from my leg, and they took me to the hospital where I was treated.
Larry's brother Bulas was shot in the foot during the attack and was also treated at the hospital. While no one in her family died that night, six people in the village were killed.
The Muslims said they would come back and kill more people. The Muslims said they were going to kill everyone in the village so they can take the village as their own.
Lari says the militant Muslims also forced some of the Christians to leave their faith.
Some people in our village were told to become Muslims and turn away from Jesus Christ and start worshiping their God. Some became Muslims, others refused and were killed.
I asked Lari if she would ever become a Muslim and leave Jesus. The answer was no. The Voice of the Christian Martyrs in Nigeria brought Lari and Bulas to the Stevens Center, an orphanage and Christian school they operate in Ogun State for Christians affected by persecution in the country. They also relocated the rest of the family to a different village and built them a house with help from Christians around the world, including Canada. The family hopes to be reunited in the future.
I thank those in Canada who are helping with my school fees, giving us food and clothes. I appreciate everything people are doing for us.
In 2009, Sarah James was just 5 years old when militant Muslims from the Boko Haram came to their village near the city of Maiduguri in Borno State in northeastern Nigeria.
In the night when we were sleeping, some people came and woke us up and told us to run away. When the burning of the churches and houses started, we ran to the pastor's house inside the church. We went to hide. The boys around there were being killed. I saw them killing people using cutlasses to make them bleed and destroying them.
The Boko Haram decided not to kill the girls, so Sarah's life was spared.
My body was shaking.
Sarah's father was killed, and her brother was also shot and injured in the attack.
I miss my daddy.
Soon after the 2010 massacre in Dogo Nahawa, the village of Giel near Jos was ambushed. It's where then 11-year-old Aaron Pam and his family were sleeping when Fulani Muslims attacked.
The fighting started in our village in the night. They were shooting guns. My father woke us up and told us we had to run away and escape. When we were running, I was with my auntie. The Muslims were hiding in the trees. We didn't know they were there. They killed my auntie.
Aaron's father was shot on the road during the brutal nighttime attack.
When they took him to the hospital, then blood was coming down on his eyes. And I said, I want to eat food. Then I will go. My mother go home. She went to cook food for him. When she come, my father already dead.
Aaron lost his father, an aunt, and an uncle that terrible night and was distraught and angry.
My mother came in and told us our father was dead. All of us were crying. I must get revenge because of what they did to my father.
But Aaron says his mother told him he must forgive those who did this and that God will judge those who killed his father and aunt and uncle. Aaron misses his father very much, who he says was a good provider for him and his family and made sure his children went to school. Fortunately, Aaron has been able to continue his education at the Stevens Center.
Brother Kadari, this is breaks my heart, and I know it breaks your heart. And can you talk to us about that? Because that's reality for some people in Nigeria. Help us understand.
Yes. It's so unfortunate that a human being can take the life of his fellow human being in the name of religion. It's weird. It's horrible. But this is a reality of what is going on. Right now, God, the killing is still going on in the Kaduna State right now, in the northern part. The killing of Christians is still going on right now, as I'm telling you. It's predominantly in the north, that is at Kaduna State. That's where is the something is boiling right now.
Which is the northern north.
North, yes. Mm-hmm. So recently, Christian leaders begin to counsel their members to be prepared, to defend themselves
for that reality,
because there's you can't just sit back and watch people just come and ask you to, surrender your faith just like that. So some Christian leaders are now asking Christians that if the government fail to provide security to defend his people or the nation or the citizen, that everybody should find a means of defending yourself.
Right.
So I believe that the government should know what they ought to do. So, but that's a reality we are facing right now. And we Christians from the South, we have made it a duty to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters that are going through this persecution in the North right now. Sometimes going to church, just make up your mind that if I return, praise God, but anything can happen.
Right.
So people go to church. In the midst of this, the gospel is still thriving in the North.
Right.
Right now, Christianity growth in the North is more than before. In the midst of this persecution, that's the Lord's doing. I remember when persecution broke out in the early church in Jerusalem.
Yes.
The enemy want to silence the gospel. The enemy want to put a stop. But the persecution scattered the disciples and the gospel exploded.
Right.
All the region. So what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it out for our good.
And they say revival is there's birth on revival. This blood, this innocent bloodshed.
Yes, there's a revival. Even Muslims are getting converted.
Wow.
Some of them say they testify that Jesus appeared to them.
Praise God.
You know, we've had several testimonies of Muslims that Jesus appeared to, and they surrendered their life to Jesus.
Yeah, we had one brother in Iran, the same thing happened to him. He got in a car accident, and the Lord appeared to him.
That's right.
And of course, he knew him, he thought, as a prophet, yeah. But then he got introduced him as the Son of God and just shifted his whole
life.
Yeah.
So right now, Christianity, the more they persecute us, the more the Christianity is growing astronomically. Churches and revival is breaking forth even in the North. That is the core site of this very, is the flashpoint of this persecution.
Well, we're going to have to break for these messages, but I know that, you know, that you can see, as what we just heard, and you know it, the church catches the children. It caught the aftermath, and you guys are doing an effective work there. Continuing this program is Apostle Isaiah Kaderi. Our hearts just broke if you're with us as we're watching these children be persecuted, their parents just to be murdered. And this is a reality that's happening today, right now. And in the midst of that, the church is there thriving, and Muslims are being saved that are one moment they're being persecuted. Just you think about it. You know, Saul was persecuted in the church. He was a terrorist to the church. But on the way to Damascus, he encountered God, and he went from a terrorist to a missionary and gave all that energy and all that strength and enthusiasm. He gave it to the kingdom of God. We got to pray for men and women who are held captive by a religion that says you need to kill someone, you know, versus love someone. As a matter of fact, Apostle Kaderi, could you talk to us a little bit, you know, about, you know, what's the condition of the church there? Obviously, it's thriving, but the economy is restrained.
The economy is really, we are praying for God's intervention economically because the poverty rate is so bad. One day I was on a regular routine evangelism, and I just walked past a woman who sat crying. I don't know why she was crying. And the Lord asked me to meet with her and share the word of God with her. I met her, and what is the matter? And she told me that they have not eaten for about a day or two, you know. So I now say, I come to share the gospel with you. And she said, can your Jesus feed me and my children, because we're starving right now.
So she wasn't a Christian then?
No.
Okay.
She said, can Jesus feed me and my children? Wow. I say, yes.
Five children?
Yeah. I say, yes, Jesus can take care of you. Wow. Just give your life to Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of your need. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That was, we led her to Christ and invited her to the church, mm-hmm. and help her with some of her basic needs. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, what can you do for a living? Right. Not just giving you food,
right?
but to get you started to do something.
Is the unemployment rate high?
I told her, unemployment rate is. I think there's no other place I can compare to Nigeria because the unemployment is everywhere.
Wow.
So I gave her equivalent of $300.
Oh, wow.
And I gave her that money and she started buying and selling with that money.
Started her own business.
And started her own business.
Wow.
From $300 money, she was able to fend for her children. She was able to send her children to school.
Mm-hmm.
And right now she is living by herself and doing well.
Praise God.
Started with $300, was able to set a woman on a business and thriving with that business. So that is how it is in Nigeria.
She was empowered by the church.
It's just an empowerment. Wow. If the church can empower people,
right,
I think the church has a lot to do. And the church will be able to do that based on what she have.
Wow.
So that's why
I hear that she's even training her children now in the business.
Our children have been out of school, but our children are already at school and are training her children with that business. So that's why there has to be wealth transfer.
Yes.
There has to be wealth transfer.
Right.
The church needs money
to
just empower the society, impact the society.
Well, the adversary has been holding it back, but God's over that.
Yes.
And like I said in our previous program, you got to catch it. You know, when justice comes down on the evil one, provision will come simultaneously.
That's right.
And the question is, you know, what do we do with it? We have some young people here in America that $300 is only half the money they would spend on some little phone device or something, a game or something of that nature. And they could shift an entire, because you shift that one mother and those kids, that's generations.
That's generation. That's true.
That's generations.
That's how we have been setting up people, you know, and we are trying to see the best we can do. That's why we always call on every believer of Christ here in United States and other parts of the world to join hand with us in raising people. It's not all about giving them food. It's all about empowering them.
That's
when you empower them, it snowballs from one generation to another generation. So what we need mostly now is empowerment.
Yeah, we have in America, we have a welfare system that doesn't empower people. And if it empowered people, then they would be free and they could own their businesses, but it literally holds them in a place because there's no expectations.
That's right.
But
that's
micro loans, you know, so like giving out, and we have a new leadership coming in, they're talking about those kind of concepts that you're talking about. Let's just give them money to start their own business. Let's give them, instead of just giving people just enough to be, can't do anything.
That's right.
With the kingdom of God, you know, we really are about, you know, the Lord's kingdom, because kingdom principles that begin to change everything.
Everything.
The kingdom of God. And if you haven't yet joined VFN Kingdom Business, you got to join the kingdom business because it's all about His kingdom coming and us coming together. But I got a question for you.
Yes.
So if somebody's watching right now, and there's a lot of folks watching, and their heart's going out to you and what you're doing there, how can they give? What can they do? How would they do that?
Yes, it's very, very simple to give. Here we have a contact point here in the United States.
We'll put it up on the screen
for you. Yes, you have to help us to put it up.
Okay.
That if anybody wants to seed into our ministry work, it's just to get to that contact point.
Right.
And then, or get in contact with some of my ministry team in the United States.
Okay.
We have a ministry team that helped me to coordinate things. So whatever seed comes in or whatever God lays in someone's heart, they know how to get to me. They know how to run the affairs of African Mission that we established here. So by the grace of God, I'm trusting God that God will we raise helpers mm-hmm. because the harvest is right. plenty, but the laborers are few.
Right.
So we trust in the Lord that God's going to raise helpers mm-hmm. that is going to team up with us to alleviate the suffering, the poverty of people, especially from the household of faith.
Right, and you're thinking a dollar a day, 80% of the population of Nigeria makes a dollar a day. How much wealth that's in America that you can take a small portion of what God's blessed you with, and you can really bless Nigeria, you know. And if you know, obviously we'll make that available on the screen, but also if your gifts are marked for VFN TV, mark it specifically for Nigeria and Apostle Kaderi so we can make sure that he gets that as well. Well, I know this. I know that there's some people out there that they're thinking, you know, I want to go to another country to serve the church. And is there a missions possibility there where you
yes.
could, how does that work?
Right now, we are building an international mission center, and we are trusting God that will be a good facility that is going to help us to host our missionaries and, you know, to provide them accommodation. But Nigeria is a mission field. If you have a heart for mission, mm-hmm. in God's Standard Bible Church, the church I pastor, we have heart for mission. Mm-hmm. You know, we have hosted a lot of American missionaries. We have hosted about 8 missionaries from Robertsdale.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have hosted about
Robertsdale, Alabama.
They mm-hmm. came over to Nigeria mm-hmm. and they do mission work. And we organize revival meetings for them, training of pastors in Nigeria. Mm. If you want to train pastors in Nigeria, we can organize a conference, a minister's conference, where you can...
How is the attendance to those? Do they come? And
Yes. If it depends on what you want.
Right.
I am the linking point to that, you know, to make that happen. You just to let me know that I want to come and do mission work in Nigeria, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask you, what do you really want to do? Is it training of ministers,
right.
or is it revival meetings, mm-hmm. or a gospel crusade, mm-hmm. you know, preaching to save souls,
right.
or you want to work in the orphanage, or mm-hmm. do you want to work in the Medicare sector?
Wow.
Once you let me know, okay. we're going to set the platform and we're going to arrange for good security and good accommodation, security,
awesome.
Another thing that will facilitate your mission work in Nigeria. God's Standard Bible Church has the capacity to host as many missionaries that will come to do missions work in Nigeria.
Well, maybe our audience, you know, VFN TV's audience and the VFN Dream Center, VFN family, maybe we can be some of those missionaries that come over and to do whatever, you know, God lays on your heart and our hearts to be able to do. That's exciting about that. Well, listen, there is some awesome ministry taking place in America because God has touched Apostle Kaderi's heart to come and fan the flames of prayer. And we're going to talk more about what that's taking place after this break, but it's to begin to pray again, you know, and we've been praying and seeking the Lord, but it's an amazing thing when you find about that, because a great move of God is coming, a mighty wind of God. We'll be talking about that. And while he was in Nigeria, he heard our Father God speak to him, the same thing God spoke to me in America, the same thing that was spoken to Pastor John Kilpatrick of Churches of His Presence and several others. And our Father is about to stir something, a mighty move of God, and you don't want to miss it. Make sure you join us after the break. But before we actually go to break, I want you to hear from Carmen Welker Williams, as I had a chance to sit down with her and to share. She shared with me the testimonies of what's taking place through Apostle Kaderi's ministry in America. Take a look. We have this great opportunity to meet with Carmen Welker Williams. Hello, Carmen.
Hello.
We're so glad to have you on the program. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, real quick. Like, I'd love to hear about you and what's been taking place in America.
Yes, I am just a local servant minister at my church,
okay.
And I serve on on the team with Apostle Kadiri while he's here in the U.S.
Awesome.
And it's just humbling and just an honor to serve under him and alongside him. So there's just great things happening. I've seen the awakening of revival. It's right at the doorsteps here in the U.S. Having him come from Nigeria to the U.S. just to empower and equip his team to go out and minister and just pray for people. We've seen healings and deliverance take place since he's been here. So it's been wonderful.
So talk about one of the healings that you saw at one of the meetings.
We had one of our local team members who was diagnosed with cancer. And so the team just began praying with him and just encouraging him to believe that he was cancer free and that he did not have cancer, because when you accept it, then it becomes a part of you. So yes. And we just, you know, kept encouraging and praying for him. And so today he is cancer free.
Praise God. That is awesome.
And I want to tell you about another one. There was a young man who was diagnosed with a liver disease, a serious liver disease. And since that time, we've been praying and believing with him as well. And we know that he is healed now.
Oh,
so it's
exciting. That's so exciting. So I know that even when he was in our studio and he was praying, that we had, he was praying for somebody with migraine headaches, and it happened to be one of our cameramen that got healed of a migraine headache and prayed over our audience as well. So what would you say right now, man, you're traveling with Apostle Kadiri, about his meetings coming up, about attending them? What would you say to some of our audience members that may be maybe in the California area or wherever they're at?
I would say believe. Mm-hmm. Just have faith. Mm-hmm. And this man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He has been sent here to preach the good news and set the captives free and also mend the brokenhearted and the meek. And so I would say to the audience and the people who are watching, just have faith, believe, and do not accept the illness that you have been diagnosed with. Believe the report of the Lord.
Right. So many people have made friends with the diagnosis and left their friendship with the Lord. So, you know what? My God's bigger than this.
Yes.
And begin to believe God. God wants to do everything. He's good.
Absolutely.
He's good. He won't, not only
does
his blood forgive us of our sins, but it also heals our bodies.
Yes.
It's all the whole thing. And we had an awakening healing on the Gulf Coast here about a year ago or so. And God just began to heal everybody that's not everybody, but many healings took place, like 20, 21 healings took place in there. Well, I want to thank you so much, Carmen, being on the program. We'd love to have you back.
Yes,
God bless
absolutely.
You.
Thank you. God bless.
I'm telling you, it is so awesome to see, as I spend time with Apostle Kadiri myself and hearing what God's doing. It's nice when God's sending people to you and thinking about you. You know, so often Americans are going to other lands, but the truth is we need missionaries. We need people to wake us up and to inspire us. And that's what's taking place through Apostle Kadiri's ministry, and we're thankful for him. Joining me continually in this program and the previous program, if you missed it, is Apostle Isaiah Kadiri. You've got to be able to watch both programs and connect with his ministry and what he's doing here in America. As a matter of fact, I want to hear about, you know, what's taking place in America. I know we first met, you know, I don't know how long ago it was.
Yes.
But it was like you heard the same thing.
Yeah.
And
I
talked to a lot of people, and they were like, what? They were like, had no idea what I was talking about. They thought I was, you know, out of it. And then you come from Nigeria and say the very same thing.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Revival is coming so fast. And we can feel the coolness of the presence of that revival is just at the doorstep right now. When the Lord asked me to go to United States back in 2010, and when I got the visa to come for the first time in 2011, the first thing that God revealed to me was a revival that is coming to United States. Mm-hmm. And the specification of that revelation is so clear that this revival is going to begin from the Gulf Coast.
Gulf Coast of America.
And this Gulf Coast, what I saw was on the bay, on the top of the Mobile Bay, when I saw a mighty spinning wind that broke into four. And one went eastward, westward, north and south. and the wind was blowing and clearing everything along. And the Lord said, that is the wind of the revival that is coming. And that the revival is going to begin from this Gulf Coast, as you have seen, and is going to, you know, sweep through the land. And he said, I will turn the heart of my children back to me again. I will refine the bride. Mm. And then the trumpet will sound.
The trumpet. Whoa,
the trumpet will sound. Praise so
it's like an end-time harvest.
This is an end-time harvest.
Wow.
And the word of the Lord said that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former.
Correct.
According to the book of Joel chapter 2, mm-hmm. God spoke it clearly, that the latter rain is going to be greater than the latter, and the latter glory is going to be greater than the former. So we can see that the move of God has already begun. Mm-hmm. The paradigm has shifted. We are in that very season. All the church needs to do is to position herself for this move of God. For the bridegroom is just at the door. And the bride is going to be cleaned up by the fire wind of that revival. Wow. It's going to be mighty. And it's so amazing that we are alive to be part of this thing. It's going to be awesome. This is a time, it's not like what you know before. It's not like what you've heard before or what you have read before. It's going to be so powerful that healings will just be literally everywhere. You know, Christians will be backed up with signs and wonders. Power will return back to the church. It's not all about denomination this time around. It's not all about a one-man show this time around. It's a wind that is going to blow over the church. It's a wind. It's an outdoor thing. Mm. It's not church in the house.
No building can contain it.
No building can hold this revival that is coming. Mm. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Mm. And we're all going to be in the middle of this. So when God revealed that to me, I have to find my way back to Mobile that was my first contact.
Mobile, Alabama.
And then I relocated to Fairhope.
Alabama.
Just to pitch by where I feel that God showed to me that this thing is going to break out.
So you actually developed a place to stay in Nigeria and
in America,
Fairhope, Alabama.
Because I don't want to be told. I want to witness that move of God. I don't want to be told.
I want to
be part of the revival. God even told me from the year 2013 to, you know, spend more time praying for United States. And God gave me the grace to wait upon Him nights, hours and hours, sometimes 4 hours, other time 3 hours. In His presence, praying for United States and praying for the revival that is about to break forth. So something is brewing in the atmosphere, and we are happy that it's just about to happen.
Yeah, the Lord has been saying, you know, this year is like a breakthrough year. That Mobile Bay is also called the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. And the Lord shown me literally walking, all the nations were here, and we're all brothers and sisters, but it was like a holiness. You know, when God's holiness comes, it's like everybody's okay with silence, but you're just walking around. He showed me that. He showed me the nations coming. He showed me specifically from different nations, and how they're going to come and they're going to go back with God's doing and carry it back into the nations.
That's right.
That's the wind of the Spirit. And also walking through like the store aisles, going through like the produce aisle and somebody's sick and they get prayed for right there.
Yeah, and right there on the spot.
Right by the cabbage. So I've been saying that for years. But the Lord showed me that's what's going to happen.
Yes, yes. Yeah. A lot of people will surrender to their lives to God. And so many people who don't even feel like going to church anymore, I tell you what, they can't hold back.
Right.
They can't hold back, but the hunger for God, the hunger for the Holy Spirit will be so strong.
Yes.
Right here in the United States. Churches will be filled back again.
Praise God.
The empty pews will be filled back again
Praise
because
God.
People will be hungry and thirsty for God.
is one word that was given by Pastor John Kilpatrick about the Lord spoke to him and said, as it was in the days of Truman, that's how it'll be in the days of Trump. And one thing is that the Lord said, people will no longer be hungry for rumors. They'll be hungry for truth. He says, I'm going to change their hearts.
That's right.
And they'll be hungry for truth. That's exciting when you know that all of a sudden God can just like say all of a sudden.
It's so exciting.
They want to hear truth.
And the change has already begun.
Yeah.
You can see what God is doing in the political corridor right now. Yes. All this is to set the stage for the wind to blow. He's about to
let
blow.
It blow, Lord. Let it blow. Let it blow. And I want to encourage that we're hearing a lot of people get that same call to come to the Gulf Coast because the Lord showed me this angel, and the angel was going around to groups of people, Christians, and everybody's okay, but there was people that had revival in their hearts.
That's right.
And he would take the one who had revival in the heart and like, I need you. That's and he'd take this one out of that, and maybe you got revival in your heart. And it means there's a lot of work. But there's a lot of reward. That's what it is. When you're revival, you know, I'm going to work hard because I understand what this is about. It's about souls and people coming to the kingdom. And God was gathering them. And then we had this whole group. And we were marching in with all these workers who were ready to do the work of revival. And you may know the Lord already. And you may have been born again in a revival. But it's time to rise up and say, you know what? God, I want to be used in a revival. First thing you need to do is to begin to do, like Pastor Kataris talking about, is begin to get a prayer life again. Begin to talk to God.
That's right. That's right.
Begin to abide with God. And if you don't know how to abide with Him, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. Begin to hear His voice and spend time with Him and write down what He's telling you and begin to walk that out. And the third thing is become a disciple of Jesus Christ.
You know,
learn His ways. We have Emmaus Road for you for that. It's a simple thing. Anywhere in the world, on your phone, on your iPad, on your TV, anywhere you can do it, and you begin to take this journey because He says, those who follow My teachings are really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. And the thing about how can we help Him in the revival when we don't know what to tell the people who just got saved. And what we do is say, you know what, I need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, look at the menu there, it says Hello Church, go to Emmaus Road, and it's a beautiful Emmaus Road that's designed, you just take one rock, next rock, next thing you know, you fully have the knowledge of the Lord, and it ends with launching. You know, the difference between unsuccessful people and successful people is successful people actually launch.
That's right.
They don't just talk about it, they just don't think about it. Amen. And so, in regards to, we talked earlier about going to Nigeria and participating in Nigeria. What would you say to Americans right now? Because now you're fixing to go to California.
Yeah.
You've been around us for a little bit and you're going, I mean, we're blessed.
Yes. My message to American believers is to come out of our comfort zone and get going for the Lord. Get going for the Lord.
How would you define that?
Yeah, Paul saw a vision. Mm-hmm. He saw a man from Macedonia, and the man was beckoning on him and said, come over here and help us. And Paul perceived in his spirit that is the call of God to Macedonia.
Right.
And when he got to Macedonia, there was a great harvest of souls, a great harvest. Among those harvests was a lady called Lydia, the seller of purple, who was of great help to the ministry of Paul. Mm-hmm. And that was the region where Paul cast out a lot of demons from so many people. Mm-hmm. You Americans, you are so blessed with the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Come to the mission field and display what God has had on the inside of you.
Right.
Because a lot of gift God put on your inside, you know, are dormant because many times there are no audience
to receive. It's dormant.
It's dormant. Mm-hmm. You know, there are no people to receive, but there is a place on earth where people are hungry to receive what you have to give, where people can pull something out of you, you know, by their expectation.
That's when you come alive.
That's it.
That's when you come alive.
So when you come over to Nigeria, to Africa, I tell you what, a pastor was giving testimony after God used him greatly. Mm-hmm. He said, I have never seen a thing like this for over 30 years I've been preaching. Mm. I've never seen this miracle happen in my ministry. It happened in Nigeria because of the expectation of people and because the hearts of the people are open and know to receive whatever. So
I believe I got that Macedonian call because I told you that the dream the Lord gave me was there was an African man who was just crying out for us to come.
Yes.
And to connect.
Yes.
You know, and
so that's me. I'm the African man. That's me. I'm the one calling.
Okay, hey.
Coming.
Hey.
Come over to Nigeria and help us.
Isn't also your spiritual lineage from John G. Lake? Was that you that
Yeah. We connected to Archbishop Dahosa.
Okay.
Dahosa connected to John G. Lake.
Awesome.
So that's it. Says generational.
So you're the African man.
I'm the one.
I'm the American man.
So
okay, what are you saying, God? Catch a plane. Oh, by the way, for people that want to watch, you just got to go get to Atlanta, and it's a straight 12-hour flight.
Yes, it's not even up to 12 hours. It's 11 hours 45 minutes flight straight to Nigeria.
Right.
Straight to Nigeria. No stress. No stress. Just straight. When you get on the plane, you just lay your head. Before you know it, you are already in Nigeria.
Well, can you close us out in prayer right here? Because I know a lot of people are being stirred, and I think I'm getting a call as we speak on this program.
Yes. Father God, I thank you. I thank you because I bring a prophetic word unto my people. I bring a prophetic word to everyone that is listening to this broadcast. I see someone that had been suffering from depression. Mm. You are hearing, you are listening to this broadcast right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. There is a pull, there is an anointing coming on upon you right now. Your depression is gone. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Name. And there's somebody here that you can see me right now. You're watching me right now. You've been given a report that you have infection, and that infection looks like kidney infection. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy healing over you right now.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus, receive your healing. And I can see someone struggling with diabetes. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that diabetes out of your body right now. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. Oh my God, look at this. Mm-hmm. There's someone you have high blood pressure, and right now the power of God is navigating through your bones right now. Mm. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. There's someone with a back pain. I command that back pain to disappear right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Oh my God, something has happened already.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dear God, end abortion.
Amen. Thank you,
send revival.
Jesus.
Send a third great awakening,
thank
we pray.
You, Jesus.
In Jesus'
in
name.
In Jesus'
God
name.
Bless.
God bless you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.